Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the Same Sky Cast. This episode, we're going to be discussing Super Mario Galaxy 2. Hello everyone, it's Eddie, Destiny Smasher Fettig, reviews editor of GoNintendo.com. Going to be giving you my review of Galaxy 2 in audio form this time. Yeah, it's Super Mario Galaxy 2. It's the sequel to one of the most critically acclaimed video games of recent memory, and it is as good as you would expect. It is a sequel. It is a very traditional sequel. I think that in some regards it's been getting some criticism for that. I don't quite understand why. I personally don't feel that sequels always need to radically change things. Some of my favorite games are in fact just straight up sequels. I mean, look at the Ratchet and Clank games on the PS2. Each of those games is like a direct sequel of the other one on the PS2, and yet the second and third ones are even better than the first. Although I guess even those games probably change things up a little bit more than Galaxy 2 does, but, I mean, let's face the facts. Mario Galaxy, its format is designed in such a way where there are endless possibilities. There's not really anything that needs to be changed or altered. It's just you add more levels. There's infinite possibilities. And so, with that in mind, Galaxy 2 is very much more of the same in terms of how it plays, and it's also very much nothing that you've seen in Galaxy 1 because there are so many new levels that have brand new ideas incorporated into them. Now, something that I do think is interesting about the 3D Mario platforming games is that Galaxy games have a smaller moveset than the previous 3D games. Mario can actually physically do less in Galaxy than he could in 64 and Sunshine. Granted, he does get special power-ups that sort of add a bit of contextual abilities, like the fireball, like the rock suit, the cloud suit, etc. Some of these power-ups are used more than others. The bee suit is used like maybe twice, the fire flower is used a few times. The cloud suit is probably the most used, and that one actually kind of makes the most sense because that one just amplifies the platforming capabilities that Mario has available. The rock suit uses a couple of times. The drill is used a pretty decent amount, actually. So there are a decent number of power-ups, and they are all used just enough where they don't get old, and every time they're incorporated, they're usually incorporated in a different way than they were before. And that right there, that is what makes Galaxy 2 so superb as a game, is that it's got a ton of content to it, and yet 9 times out of 10 you're doing something that you have not done previously, whether in Galaxy 1 or in this one. Even times when you are doing something that is similar to what you've done before, there's always a twist to it. The main example I can think of are the time attack levels. Those are the main instances where it will seem like you're just sort of going through the same motions once again, because you literally are. But, fortunately, the time constraints are strict enough where you really have to go through it with very minimal mistakes. For me, most time attack levels I was able to beat on the first try, just because I guess not to brag, but I am pretty well versed in platforming games and the 3D platforming Mario games, so I didn't really have that much trouble with hardly any portions of the game. So, you know, you might feel like the time attack sections are not really changing that much, but there's only a handful of them that are like that. I mean, there's 48 levels in the game by my count, 48 separate stages. Each level will have either 2 or 3 power stars to collect, one of which will always be a prankster comet. Every stage has a prankster comet, and every prankster comet alters the stage in some way, whether it's a time attack, or you have to complete a portion of the level without getting hit, or you have to collect purple coins, just like Galaxy 1. However, the prankster comets, they always are decently more challenging than whatever you did in the level previously. There are also prankster comets for the Bowser levels, which is great. Some of the Bowser stages are pretty well designed, and so having to rush through those as fast as you can is pretty enjoyable. you know, there's 48 different levels. Basically, you've got 120 stars to collect across all these levels, and when you do beat the game, you gain access to another 120 stars to collect. And these stars are basically scavenger hunt style. So for every star that you collected in the stage, there's a green star to collect, thus doubling the number of stars in the game. The green stars are just these fun little kind of scavenger hunt stars. Some of them are really easy to find. Some of them are a little bit more tricky. I only got 7 green stars thus far, but I've played the game for about 16, 17 hours now, and I did get all of the 120 default stars in the game. But the green stars are just kind of fun because they give you another excuse to kind of poke around these brilliantly designed levels and just explore a little bit, maybe, you know, look at some things that you might not have checked out the first time, that sort of thing. So it's cool that those are there. Now, aside from that, you know, like I said, Mario does have a number of different power-ups, but you are also able to play as Luigi more often than I expected, actually. It's actually kind of surprising how often Luigi shows up and you're able to play as him. When you get 120 power stars, you're able to play as Luigi any time you want. It's just like Galaxy 1. It's more of an aesthetic difference. I mean, there is a bit of a control difference. Luigi does jump a bit higher. He is a bit slippery. He might still move faster like he did in Galaxy 1. I don't actually know offhand if that's the case, but he does control a little bit differently, so that's kind of fun. More importantly, however, is the addition of Yoshi. Finally, Nintendo has put Yoshi in a 3D platforming game, and it feels right. I wasn't really happy with how he was implemented in Sunshine. I especially didn't like the fact that he melted in water for no particular reason. That's not the case here. There's only a couple places where Yoshi could even touch water anyway, but he doesn't just, like, disintegrate and disappear. When Yoshi gets hit, he'll do that sort of thing where he runs around aimlessly, not sure what to do, and you can, you know, try and hop back on him. But Yoshi is very well implemented. His moves are a little bit different than when you're controlling Mario. You don't have access to a triple jump, but you do have access to the flutter jump. He can, of course, lick at objects. That's probably the main attraction, is that you can point at the screen and press the B button, and his tongue will lash out at things, either to hit them, or activate them, or pull them toward him, or to, you know, traditionally suck enemies up in his mouth and then eat them or spit them back out, which is fun. It's actually very well implemented. Playing as Yoshi is just really enjoyable. It just feels great. And he gets his own power-ups, of course, which I'm sure you've seen. He can get a power-up that makes him run really fast, that makes him float, or that makes him create sort of a beam of light that will illuminate areas. There's a couple of levels that utilize that, and those are, of course, really cool. The whole, like, light illuminating the ground, but when there's no light, then there is no ground anymore. Those levels just look awesome. They play awesome. They're just really fun. I mean, if you take all of Mario's different power-ups into account, then he probably does have just as many moves, if not more, as he did in the previous 3D games. But the difference is that a lot of these special abilities are context sensitive. There are only certain cases where you use them, but as a result, they're able to design those specific areas where you really do have to take advantage of those, and that's great. So, I mean, I'm sure most of this you've probably already heard about Galaxy 2, in many respects, Galaxy 1. A lot of assets are reused from Galaxy 1. There are a couple of music tracks that are reused, but those are welcome. I mean, I really liked Galaxy 1's soundtrack, and my 2-3 favorite songs from Galaxy 1 do make an appearance in this one in some fashion or another. The new soundtrack is superb. It actually it incorporates a number of old-school Mario songs from Mario World and Mario 64. There's a couple from each game thrown in, and those are awesome additions. You will grin at those, I'm sure. But, I mean, the orchestrated soundtrack just sounds great. The graphics are, again, they're just wonderful. Like, aside from some texture issues that can come up from time to time, I really can't think of how you could make a Mario game look any better in 3D. I mean, the animation is really top-notch, especially like on a lot of the boss characters and stuff like that. They just animate really fluidly. Mario animates pretty well. Everything just looks and sounds great. I mean, it's really the top-tier presentation for a Wii game. Even the menus just look and feel like they pop out at you. Ultimately, what really makes the Galaxy games worth playing is, of course, the levels. And as I've said, there's 48 of them by my count. There's, you know, 120 power stars and then 120 more to collect, so there's plenty of stuff to do. You're definitely going to get your money's worth out of this game as far as quantity of time played versus quality of the game that you're playing. So rest assured as far as that's concerned. What I think is definitely worth discussing here is how Galaxy 2 is very similar to the first one in its mechanics. And I just find it kind of strange that in this day and age we always expect our sequels in games to change things up, like to drastically alter things, to alter the actual game mechanics. And I, for one, don't really feel that that's necessary. Now, there's been a lot of jokes passed around that Galaxy 2 could have been a level pack or something, and I guess to a degree that's true. I mean, the mechanics are the same. The fact that it's released as a separate game is more to do with the fact that there is enough content in Galaxy 2 to warrant an entirely separate game. Could they have released it as an expansion pack to Galaxy 1, assuming that the hooks were set in place to do that? Yeah, they could have, and I would have been fine with that too. To me, it doesn't really matter how it's getting out there. The amount of money that you're paying is worth the amount of content and the quality of what's there. The Galaxy games are just designed in such a way where Nintendo could, for all I care, continue to make Galaxy games. And that I would be perfectly fine with that. There's just endless possibilities. You can't, with this type of format, you can't hit a roadblock. You can't really run into a brick wall and go, oh, well, there's not really anywhere else to take this. You can't run out of limitless ideas of objects floating in space and playing with gravity, playing with physics. I just can't see how you could run out of ideas like that. As long as the creative energy is there, potentially we could just keep seeing Mario Galaxy games, and I don't really think that's a bad thing. A great example of a new mechanic that was not used in the original Galaxy is the implementation of the sound actually playing a part in the level. There are, I think, three different instances where you've got music playing in the background and a metronome ticking with the music, and then every measure or two there is a ding with that rhythm, and when that ding happens, something in the level switches. The gravity might switch, or the screen might be flashed with illumination and then fade back in darkness, or platforms might appear and disappear. I think those are the three cases I can think of where that mechanic is used. So you got this one mechanic that is used three different times for three different levels, and yet each time, even though it's technically the same mechanic, the way it's implemented is different, so it ends up making the level feel fresh. This is a great example of how Galaxy does a lot with what it has. It will utilize similar mechanics repeatedly, and yet it will change just enough where it still plays differently as a level. This review has probably gone over just about everything you've heard about the game. I haven't read any reviews on it myself, because I try not to read reviews of a game until I review it myself to not affect what I'm going to say about it. So if a lot of what I'm saying sounds repetitive, then, well, there you go. That's just that much more evidence that Nintendo probably knows what they're doing. And I frankly find it very impressive that after two decades, when a new Mario game comes out, at least a new, like, traditional Mario game, people get excited. I mean, I can't think of any other franchise where that's really the case. Obviously, you know, there's Legend of Zelda, but Legend of Zelda, believe it or not, folks, doesn't quite have the mass appeal that the Mario games do. While the Zelda games are probably held in a little bit higher regard from a gamer culture standpoint, the Mario games are just as good as the Zelda games are, in my opinion. They're just a bit more light in their content. They're not as dense, and thus they're able to reach out to a wider audience. So hopefully we'll see the combined sales of Galaxy 1 and Galaxy 2 at least equal that of New Super Mario Bros. Wii, maybe. I really wish that the Galaxy games were succeeding a bit more than they are. I mean, they are succeeding, I'm sure, but New Super Mario Bros. Wii sold like ridiculous amounts of copies, and I really feel like a lot of that audience would still enjoy Galaxy and Galaxy 2. So, I don't know, hopefully with the big marketing push Nintendo's been putting into Galaxy 2, it'll bring attention to the franchise. If I'm going to tackle a few issues that are technical, that are nitpicky flaws, the camera, you still can't really control the camera in many cases. The camera is usually oriented in the way that the developers want you to see it. Once in a while, this will cause a problem. There were a few occasions when I would get stuck in sort of a loop where I'd be running around a spherical object or like upside down or something, and Mario would run in a circle, even though I was only holding down one direction, as if the combination of the camera angle and my control, like, something about it would just mess up and Mario wouldn't move correctly. once or twice this actually did lead to me dying, but again, like, that's only once or twice out of, like, 16, 17 hours of gameplay. But that is a nitpick. I'm not sure exactly how they would fix something like that. Maybe have the camera move a little bit more dynamically, perhaps. I don't really know. But that is a nitpick. I mean, I really can't offhand think of any other technical problems that I encountered besides that. I mean, the pointing functionality works great. The Wii Motion sort of aspects, not everyone's going to be happy with those, but those are executed pretty well, and there's only a couple of cases where you really need to use the Wii remote in a motion-sensitive way. So even if you aren't all about those and they give you trouble, they didn't give me trouble, but even if those give you trouble, you don't have to get them until later. Like, you could wait, be patient, and then come back to them later. And that would be one of my biggest recommendations with this game, is if you are getting stuck, the game is designed in such a way where you don't have an excuse to get stuck. You can always try something else and come back later. So definitely do that. Don't get yourself all tangled up in a knot because you're stuck on one thing. If it's really frustrating, try something else, come back later. That's one of the beauties of the 3D Mario games in general, is that they're not linear. You don't have to be stuck in one place for too long. I guess there's another sort of minor complaint that comes to mind, which is the boss battles with Bowser. It's not that they're not fun, it's just that all three of them utilize the same mechanic, it's just each one is a bit more difficult, which that was the case in Galaxy 1, and that is, I mean, honestly, that's kind of a valid complaint. When the boss battles with Bowser Jr. are all different from one another, while the boss battles against Bowser are all pretty much the same, I mean, that's kind of disappointing in a way. They actually do still feel pretty epic, which is great. This sort of epic clash between Mario and Bowser, that's fun. But I do wish that the actual mechanics of beating Bowser were different each time, so that you didn't go in knowing, okay, I'm just going to do this, and then I'm going to do that, and there we go. I feel like I had more difficulty on the final Bowser Jr. battle than the final Bowser battle, because I went in knowing exactly what to do. So, you know, that's a little bit of an issue. It would be nice to see that changed in the next 3D Mario game. And I guess another thing worth mentioning here is, of course, the game's difficulty. A lot of people have said that Galaxy 2 is harder than 1. I guess I'd agree. I guess it did seem like I did probably die more often in Galaxy 2 than Galaxy 1. I have never found a 3D Mario game that genuinely challenged me in terms of actually making me frustrated with how difficult it was. So I don't even know how the super guide type function works in this game, because I never ran into it, because I guess I didn't die enough times or whatever you have to do to activate it. Rest assured that the game is challenging. Like, it is quite possibly the most challenging 3D Mario game so far, which is kind of how I felt about Galaxy 1 when that came out. Even more so here, it is more challenging, I would argue, especially towards the end, of course. So I don't think people are going to be disappointed about that. Like I said, I didn't really like find myself gnashing my teeth, but the challenge for me as a Mario veteran was just right. Like, there was just enough challenge there. I did have to, bust my butt off on some of the time trials and things like that. So the challenge is definitely there, and it makes the game all that more enjoyable. But there are mechanics set in place to help players that might not be quite so experienced help get through things, which is great. Something else I should probably touch on is the sort of way that you navigate between the levels. A lot of people are upset that there's not a hub world and blah blah blah, and while I can kind of understand that with Mario 64 and Sunshine, those games actually had fairly robust hubs, Mario Galaxy 1 didn't really have a very robust hub. It felt like it was even smaller than, well, it was definitely smaller than Sunshine. In some regards, it felt smaller than 64's even, if only because I don't know, I just feel like that you weren't really exploring it so much as just moving from one section to another. Galaxy 2 does have an overworld map, which I actually kind of like more, because you can kind of skip levels if you want. It just gives you more room to kind of skip levels that you might not want to play in many cases, or at least you might want to, you know, wait to go back to later. You will want to play all the levels, trust me, but there is the Starship Mario, and frankly, that's the hub. They're between, like, whatever is on Starship Mario, that's about what you'd be exploring in Rosalina's Observatory. I do like Rosalina's Observatory more, but that kind of has more to do with the atmosphere than anything else. I mean, Starship Mario, doesn't really have much else to do that you would do in Rosalina's Observatory anyway, aside from collect 1-ups, and that's pretty much it. Which 1-ups are pretty plentiful, so that's usually not an issue anyway. I can't really think of much else to say on the game without, you know, just being repetitive, I suppose. But I just figured I'd do this review in an audio form. You could get my opinion on the game. Other than that, I can't really think of anything that I would say is an issue with this game. It is, in fact, a very high-quality piece of software. The only thing I can really think of, besides those tiny little camera issues that could improve the game, is just adding more content, and that's exactly what Galaxy 2 is to Galaxy 1. And so, like, I really have to give it my highest recommendation. I think that this is one of those games that is very well made in just about every regard. Just about anyone could enjoy it. I mean, even if you're not that big into platforming games, you still might enjoy this game. It's just very well made. It's just one of those cases where even people who aren't into platforming games are enjoying this game, and it's for a good reason. So I do have to give it a 10 out of 10. I don't give that score out very often, so I'm giving it out here because, frankly, I think the game is that good. It is an ideal video game. There's a lot of content to explore. There is a ton of variety, which is the hallmark of the Galaxy games, and that is continued here. And the quality of the presentation, the controls, the audio, the visual, everything, like, everything just comes together about as ideally as I could hope for within reason in a video game, and that's here. That's my review of Mario Galaxy 2. Definitely do not hesitate to buy it unless you really didn't enjoy the first one. Because if you enjoyed the first one, you are going to enjoy the second one. And it is definitely a worthwhile sequel, and I'm very glad that Nintendo pursued it. And for all I care, I would love to see a Galaxy 3 in a couple years. Because you know what? It's probably going to be another set of 40 to 50 levels that are really enjoyable and varied. So, there you go. That's all for today then, folks. I do hope that everyone out there is enjoying Galaxy 2. If you've got any questions or if you want to be on the podcast, feel free to send me an email at destiny.smasher@gmail.com. The next set of episodes I'm going to be putting up will be about the fighting game genre. And after that, I think we're probably going to be discussing the idea of video games as a modern art form. So if you've got any thoughts on either of those topics, do send me an email, either in written or audio form. Other than that, thanks a lot for listening, guys, and later days.